I heard the other day the illustration what the rapture is. I was reading a paper that I get, a periodical, and it had a picture of a church down in Texas. And it had on the outside sign of it, it had in big letters, rapture. Underneath it, it said, separation of church and state. I liked it. So now you know what the rapture is. Amen. We're looking forward to it too, aren't we? Amen. I tell you, that's the truth. I'm looking forward to the rapture of the church. You say, Brother Ross, don't you want all these people to get saved? Yes, I do, but I wish they'd do it today. I'm ready for him to come. Amen. But we do want folks saved, and we'll be patient until he comes. Turn to the book of Nehemiah, please. Book of Nehemiah, 4th chapter. Let us stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. Verse number 1. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth, and took great indignation, and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria, and said, What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, Why, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down that stone wall. Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity. And cover not their iniquity, and let not their sins be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So build we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof. For the people had a mind to work. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the wall of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. And Judah said, The strength of the bearers of burdens is destroyed or decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. Let us pray. Father, I want to thank you again today for the wonderful, wonderful, precious word of God. Thank you for your wonderful Son, the Lord Jesus, Lord, who died for our sins, Lord, that we might have eternal life. And he not only died, he was buried and rose again, now sits at the right hand of the Father, soon to come again. Now we thank you tonight that we will, Lord, hopefully be a blessing to this church, Father, through the preaching of your word. And Father, help this preacher. I have needs, Lord, that you know all about. And Father, I ask you to meet those needs for me. And I'll thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. Tonight we'll be preaching a message which I preached many, many years ago. And in fact, I believe, if I am right, I have never preached that message since then. It's called Rubbish Removal. And tonight, your pastor and my pastor has asked me to preach this message. I want to go to some scripture, first of all, to get a little bit of background. I want you to go to the book of Ezra, which is right before the book of Nehemiah. And if you will, please, go to Ezra, the 4th chapter, please. Fourth chapter. I think that most of you know, Pastor has been teaching us from the book of Nehemiah, doing a tremendous job. We know that any time a work of God, no matter where it is going to have opposition. That is just a truth. That's just the way it is. He's taught us that, and I think even logically, you know that that's true. There's going to be opposition wherever God's word is preached, where a work of God is being built. In Ezra, the fourth chapter, Nehemiah was sent back to Jerusalem to build the wall. Ezra was sent back in the building of the temple and basically to restore the spiritual life of Israel. That's what he was sent back for. Now you notice here in Ezra, the fourth chapter, now when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the children of captivity builded the temple unto the Lord God of Israel, then they came to Zerubbabel and to the chief of the fathers and said unto them, "Let us build with you, for we seek your God as ye do, and we do sacrifice unto him since the days of this king of Asher, which brought us up thither." But Zerubbabel and Jeshua and the rest of the chief of the fathers of Israel said unto them, "Ye have nothing to do with us to build a house unto our God, but we ourselves together will build unto the Lord God of Israel, as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, has commanded us." Then the people of the land, listen to this, weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in building and hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose all the days of Cyrus, king of Persia, even until the reign of Darius, king of Persia. As it said, always, whenever there's a work of God being done, there's going to be those sent in, not by God, that's going to work against it. I think that's one of the things we need to understand. Whenever enemies of the cross come in and do a work against the work of God, it never comes from God. It doesn't come from him. We ought to recognize easily where it comes from. See, the work of God is his work, and he wants to bless it, and he will bless it. But there's always going to be opposition. So we find, and again, I want to go to some scripture over in the New Testament just for a moment, over in 1 Corinthians, the third chapter. 1 Corinthians, the third chapter, please. We'll start reading in verse number 9. Familiar portion of scripture, but let's listen to what it says. 1 Corinthians, third chapter, verse 9. "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. We are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon." Listen to what he says. "But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon." It's very important, very serious business in the building of God's work. In fact, he says you better take heed how you build. "For other foundation can no man lay than is laid, which is Jesus Christ." You understand that the foundation of the church is Jesus Christ. That's the only foundation it can be. But he warns us and tells us we ought to take heed how we build. In verse number 12, he says, "Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath builded thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." And he warns us and tells us there's a way to build. We're to build with the precious stones, the gold, the silver. We're to build with those that will endure the fire, the testing fire of Jesus Christ. That's what we're to build on. If not, we're going to lose our reward. He's not talking about salvation here, losing salvation. He even stated that. He's talking about losing the rewards as a Christian if we don't build right. Now, in order to build right, we've got to have a foundation that is clear. There can't be rubbish on it. Rubbish must be removed from any foundation, and that's what I want to preach to you tonight about. With the Nehemiah, everything was doing fine. The king had allowed him to go to Jerusalem to build the wall. And he came and he surveyed all the ruins of the wall. He looked it over. He gathered an army of workers to help him. And it seemed like everything was just going fine. And all at once, there was some discouragement that came in. And let me say to you, this was from inside. This was not external. It was internal. I want you to notice, if you will, please, because that always is going to take place too. Don't be surprised when opposition comes. It will come. It'll come from the external, the Tobias and the Sanballats. It'll come from them, but it also will come from within. You've got to notice here, and I want to read a verse of scripture to you. You don't have to turn there, but listen over in Genesis, the 49th chapter, 10th verse. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. The very one whom the Lord Jesus Christ was going to come through was the tribe of Judah. And it is Judah here who is bringing up this opposition or problems or discouragement in the building of the wall. What I'm simply saying to you folks, even the very best of people, if you don't be careful, the very ones who ought to be right on top of everything, sometimes will grow discouraged. If you listen to verse number 10, going back, and let me get back over into the book of Nehemiah. Verse number 10, listen, here's what he said. Judah said, the strength of the bearers of the burden is decayed. Hear what he said? We don't have any strength. We are just tired. We're wore out. We cannot do it. Then you notice he also said that there is much rubbish. He looked at the wall, the foundation of the wall, and everywhere he looked, he saw rubbish on top of it. Much rubbish, as he put it. And to the fact, he said, so that we are not able to build the wall. This is Judah speaking. Discouragement. He said, we are just not able to do it. Now, I want to encourage you folks. We couldn't do it, but we have a great God. Nehemiah could not do it, or the people of that day could not do it without God. But with God, all things are possible. You understand that? Amen? You see, you noticed it was Judah that said this. Nehemiah, you know, expected problems from Sanballat and Tobiah, but he did not expect this. Okay? I want to go to one more portion of scripture, then we'll get into the basics of our message. Won't you turn with me over to the book of Psalms, the 55th chapter of Psalms. Verse number 10. Day and night they go about it upon the walls thereof. Mischief also and sorrow are in the midst of it. Wickedness is in the midst thereof. Deceit and guile depart not from her streets. But it was not an enemy that reproached me. Well, then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me, that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man my equal, my God, and my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of God in company. I just want to say this to you. I've pastored and preached for 38 years. And I have never been hurt by the external problems. I always expected them. And you do. Because you know that old Satan is not going to let you alone. You know that Satan is going to give you trouble. But it was always when the internal. That's when it hurt. Someone who I'd walked to the house of God together. Okay? Now this is just something to help you. Your preacher needs your help support, and loyalty for this work of God. There is no doubt that God is doing a work here. All you have to do is look around and see what's going on and know that God's hand is upon this place and upon your preacher. Do you understand what I'm saying? So what I'm saying to you, and I'm not saying you're not, I'm saying preventively. I've done that for all of my life, all of my years. I preach preventively. I try to tell people ahead of time before it happens. You help your pastor, get behind your pastor, support your pastor, and be a blessing to him. Amen? So that he won't have to say it was one of those who walked to the house of God with me that caused me the problem. Okay? You see, it would have been easy for Nehemiah to have went back to Persia. Just hung it up and went back. But retreat was not in his vocabulary. He was not going to do that. So what we see here is we see that the wall had been destroyed, the rubbish was laying on the wall, and something had to be happened, had to happen. That rubbish had to be removed before they could build. I remember when we built on back here a few years back, and we poured the foundation for the wall. And before we could get down in there, and the people who was going to lay the block for us, before we could do that, a heavy rain come and washed a lot of mud in on the foundation. And especially up against the church, at the existing church there on this side, I remember very well. And we had to get down in there and scoop that mud off and clean it off and wash it off. And why do you do that? Because you can't build on top of mud. Right? This is the principle tonight that I want to teach. You've got to remove the rubbish before we can build. It has to be removed, or there won't be a strong wall built. So we've got to get rid of that rubbish, and that's what we did then. We got rid of all that mud off of it, washed it all off, and then they came in and they built the wall on top of the foundation. So what we want to remember is that if we're going to bear fruit, and I'm talking about personally just for a moment, if we're going to bear fruit outwardly, we're going to get rid of the rubbish that's inside. Because inside is where fruit is produced first, and then it comes out. All right? So what we've got to do is, you know, we look around sometimes, we say we're going to keep our lives and basically we're going to look good and we're going to have all of these things that look good, and basically people look at us and they see a good testimony. But what's on the inside of us? What's here? You understand what I'm saying? If you want to build a good life, a good Christian life, you're going to have to allow God to remove some rubbish that's on the inside. It's easy to hide that from the outside world. You can hide it. I can hide it. But what is inside? What's going on inside? What's our thought life? What's going on? Well, God has to remove the rubbish inside before true faith, our true works, can really be produced outside. I said true ones. Okay? So we need to do that. Now, the church has had to be content with a lot of rubbish, or contend with a lot of rubbish, over years and years and years. It always has. The rubbish is always going to be there. There's the false teachings that has to be removed. You have to be a rubbish remover all the time. The false teachings must be watched carefully. I think we have wonderful Sunday school people and wonderful people that's teaching, but let me say to you folks, you can't bring any rubbish in. You teach what this pastor tells you to preach and teach. Amen? That's what we teach. Don't bring rubbish in and dump it. And then also there's the traditions of men. I think all of us have a few traditions. We meet on Christmas and we meet at other times, and it's joyful to have certain things that you do every year, but they can't become gods. See, the Catholic Church has traditions that has become gods. And they needed to be removed. And thank God that Martin Luther, even though I don't agree at all with Martin Luther, but Martin Luther came in and taught the justification by faith, by the grace of God. Now, I'm just simply saying to you, there was some rubbish that has to be removed. And we must do it in our churches. Legalism must not be allowed to be dumped in this church. You say, what's that, Brother Ross? Well, that is simply adding anything to the grace of God. Work salvation. That cannot be. And your pastor, again, our pastor just does a wonderful job, hammers on that, tells us about it. You can't have those things. You see, it's not any works. If it is, there's no grace. It's one or the other. And so we must remove that rubbish and keep it removed, you see. But I'm thankful for one thing. I'm thankful that God has matched the rubbish makers with excavators. God over the years has brought his men in to get rid of the rubbish. And it's a constant battle to do that. But God is very capable of doing it. And that's why he uses men, pastors and people down through the years to just preach and preach and preach and not allow the foolishness to go on. Not allow the rubbish to remain on the foundation, you see. Wesley and Whitfield and Moody and some of the old ones that we think about have removed a lot of rubbish in their life. And people now today, and pastors in every generation, men of God, has removed rubbish from their churches so that they would build on the right foundation, you see. You cannot build on top of rubbish. Okay? You cannot do it, you see. There's always some people who will defend the existence of rubbish. They'll say it's not worth fighting over. It's not worth this, not worth that. But you've got to get rid of rubbish before you build. Amen? You see? And I've been a rubbish remover ever since I've been in the pastorate. Now, that's not bragging. That's a job God gave me. Let me go back for a few moments back to years ago when I took my first pastorate. I could give you illustration after illustration after illustration. But I remember the day on a Saturday before I was to go and candidate on Sunday at a little church east of here. And I went out, and the neighbors across the road, I told them who I was, and I said, would you let me in the church so I could look around? Oh, sure, that's fine. They went to the church. So we went in, looked around, Don and I, I don't think the children was with us at that time, but just her and I drove down to look at the church. I picked up a bulletin from the Sunday before. And it told about, and of course that was Christmas Sunday. It told about how Santa Claus was going to visit them that day. And evidently he did. And some of the activities that was going on Christmas Day. Well, I took the pastorate and removed that rubbish quickly. He never did visit us again. Never. Now you say, Brother Ross, is that important? Oh, yes, because that's rubbish on the foundation. You see, you're trying to build on the foundation of Jesus Christ, and you can't build on top of Santa Claus. And not only that, Easter came along. And wanting to have an Easter egg hunt. Now you see, Brother Ross, is there anything terrible about that? I think there's something terrible about churches having Easter egg hunts. I really do. Because again, you're building on rubbish. And of course, we didn't have an Easter egg hunt. But on Easter, I was warned by one of the men of the church, there was a family, kind of a prominent family, coming to the church that morning, and they was going to let their girls sing. Well, I just thought I was the pastor. I thought I would decide that. So when they drove up, I was looking out the back door in between. They didn't even come for Sunday school. In between Sunday school and church, and they drove up, so I went out to meet them. And I said to him, I understand you've come for your girls to sing. And they was a sweet family, basically. I'm talking about the girls was sweet and all of that. And I said, what are you going to sing? And he said, well, they have practice. Here comes Peter Cottontail. Here comes Peter Cottontail. And I said, sir, they're not going to sing that here in this church. Now, I say, if you have a good spiritual song, here's what I said to him, that they've practiced and are ready, I would let them sing that. He said, no, that's what we practiced. And I said, well, sir, I wish you would come in, but the girls are not going to sing this morning. So they put their stuff back in the car. They did come in, stay for the service. All through the service, they was mad. Some of the congregation told me afterwards that it would have been better if a millstone was hung around my neck and I was buried in the deepest sea. Seriously, because the scripture said if you hurt any one of those little children that belonged to him, it'd be better if a millstone was hung around your neck and buried in the deepest sea. It's always nice for a congregation to tell their pastor this. At least you know what their intentions are. But you say, Brother Ross, is that important? Oh, yes. Foundation was being laid. You can't build on junk like that. No. You can't build on stuff like that. When I went there, there was a woman teaching the adult men and ladies class. It took me a little while, but I got that straightened out. Why? Because it was rubbish. It's against Scripture. I didn't say the people were rubbish. I said what they were doing was rubbish. You understand that? When I talk about the rubbish, I'm not talking about the individual. That little girl's was not rubbish. But what they were doing was wrong. What the parents was allowing to do was rubbish. And those things cannot be allowed. So we finally got a man teacher in the adult Sunday school class. There was no Sunday night services. And I was told by one of the individual men in the church, he said to me, you oughtn't to start a Sunday night service. There'd be no one come anyway. That's exactly what he told me. What he meant was, I won't come. But we successfully started a Sunday night service and had pretty good crowds compared to the size of the church. No Bible study, not real Bible study on Wednesday night. And we began to study the Bible on Wednesday nights. I'm not saying this to criticize it. I'm telling you, can't build on top of rubbish. You understand what I'm saying? You got to clear the foundation. Not only that, they belong to the American Baptist Convention. American Baptist Convention belonged to the National Council of Churches, which supported all kinds of liberal activities and even communist activities. You may not be familiar with it. Don't hear a whole lot about it anymore. But they supported it. I worked, began to do everything I could to withdraw them from the American Baptist Convention. Say, why, Brother Ross? Because I don't want to build on rubbish. They had no missionaries when I went there. None. They were supporting no missionaries. Soon we was able to support two missionaries. When we left there, and a group of us left and started Blessed Hope Baptist Church, they immediately dropped those two missionaries. Immediately. Rubbish. God's blessing will not be upon it. You understand me? We picked those missionaries up as a little church that just got started. And we picked those missionaries up and began to support them. Now, I'm telling you these things not to make you think, that this pastor's done this or that. I'm telling you, rubbish must be removed before a work like this can be built. You can't build on top of rubbish. Okay? I just started a little youth thing out there and I had them come. We was going to have kind of a get-together, and we was going to study the Bible, and we was going to have some fun, play some games. So I began to institute a little bit of dress code. Wasn't nothing like we now do. But I instituted a little something. I told them you can't come in shorts and things like that, I wanted to teach them, but I said, but come dressed modestly, okay? Well, one of the families of the church had a girl, teenage girl, that came to the youth meeting, and one of the people was there regularly. They knew what we'd said. She wore the shortest shorts she could wear. So I had one of the ladies take her home, but I told her this: if you'll go home, change your clothes, you're welcome to come back and enjoy the youth meeting. Of course, she didn't. Rubbish removal. No, not the girl, but what she was doing. Do you understand what I'm saying? See, you got to take some stands. You got to build off of a solid foundation, because if you don't, it's all that wall's all going to be weak and crumbling. Okay? And of course, they had business meetings out there that turned into riots. You can't believe the things they said to me. Now, I won't even tell you the things they said to me. Things they called me. And so when we started Blessed Hope Baptist Church, I made a declaration. They will never be that kind of a business meeting at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And over the years, there never has been. See, a person can disagree kindly and graciously and give their opinion if they're asked about it. It's fine. It's not a problem. But you don't turn things into a riot. That's rubbish. Amen. That's rubbish. And that's not going to happen. Say, Brother Oswald, why are you telling us all this? I'm telling you, if there isn't someone that removes the rubbish, you cannot build correctly. And we had to do that. Like I said, I've been removing rubbish all of my life. And you begin to clear rubbish, and I've been doing that ever since. There's been unfaithfulness of people who want to serve in a church that I've had to deal with. I've had to say to them, I'm talking about over the years, okay? Even after we started this church, they want to serve, but they don't want to be faithful to Sunday morning Sunday school, Sunday morning church, and Sunday night church, and Wednesday night. Well, you don't need to serve. You don't need to serve, and I'm talking about a capacity of a Sunday school teacher or someone who stands up and before people. I understand that there is places of service to help people grow, and I believe that. But they can't be responsible for teaching people and not be faithful to the house of God. Amen. Not only that, the tongues movement was really big during those years. I mean big. It was trying to get into all the Baptist churches. And we had to fight that battle on a constant basis. And I taught my people about that. We had people leave the church over it because they wanted to see tongues brought into the church. Do you understand what I'm saying? You can't build on rubbish. It must be removed. False doctrines and many, many more things. Out at the church that I was telling you about, I got up one morning and a preacher that hadn't been there very long. And I got up and I was getting ready to preach. And I looked down and this wife of the treasurer was sitting on the front seat where they had set the offering plates. And she was looking at me and kind of singing as we were singing and taking the money out into a bag. And when she got done, she got up and went home. Boy, that went over good. That's exactly what she did. So another thing of rubbish that had to be removed. I mean, it's a constant thing. It's what I'm trying to tell you. It's always something. Amen? There was a man came into this church after we built this church, and he'd been here. We'd probably been here 3 or 4 years. Man came into this church, and he was of the persuasion that once you get saved, you could lose your salvation. Well, he began to spread that throughout the church. And teach certain people in the church that I was wrong on that. So I got up one Sunday. He was sitting right at the back there. I did not call his name out. I was gracious and kind. But I said to the people and explained the doctrine of salvation, that it's God's salvation, and he gives it to us, and it's ours forever. Like our pastor told us this morning, it's forever ours. God don't lose anybody. And I said this, if the gentleman who has been spreading that doesn't stop, I'm going to visit them and see them at their own home. And it will be stopped. He never came again. You say, well, Brother Ross, is that? Oh, no, no. That's rubbish removal. That's rubbish removal. You can't allow that in your churches. One morning, and I don't know whether it was the third or fourth Sunday that we had services in this very church right here. I know things are a little different up here than they used to be, but it was at an altar right here. They always try it. Hadn't been here about three Sundays, I think. And here was a lady come at the invitation. She come right down here, and she was praying, supposedly. And then she got to swaying. I knew what was coming. I said to Donna, we'd already had it set up. I just motioned to her. She came immediately, broke it up, told her to get back to her seat and sit down. What was she going to do? She was going to babble in tongues. Rubbish removal. Rubbish removal. Oh yeah, you got to remove it. You understand what I'm saying? Another preacher. Some of these things you don't even know. And you don't need to know. Another preacher came to this church who was persuasive. His persuasion was Pentecostalism. He came to his church bringing, he was a preacher, he said, and he's bringing his second wife. Wanted to attend here. So he again, I said, you're welcome to attend. Well, it wasn't long. He began to tell some of the people that there was nothing wrong with a preacher preaching after he'd been married twice. It's unscriptural. There's people and men in this country right now that's doing that very same thing. And some of our independent Baptists are having them in. So I went to his home. Met him out in the yard. Had a long talk. Told him we loved him in the Lord. But that would stop. And if it wasn't going to stop, I didn't want him to come back to church. Now, folks, listen to me. I could tell you story after story after story of why this church is founded now on a solid foundation. And your pastor is keeping it on a solid foundation. You understand what I mean? And it has to be upon the solid foundation. That other stuff is rubbish, and it must be removed. And I did things like that all the time. And let me say something to you. It gets weary to remove rubbish. It gets tiresome because when you move some rubbish, you turn around and there's some more. Somebody has dumped the load. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
And it gets weary. It gets tiresome. When I stepped down from the pastorate, I had some not good health. I'd had a light stroke. But can I tell you something? I was weary of rubbish removal. And I was tired. Now I'm going to tell you some things. Okay? And that is why you have this pastor who also gets weary. He also fights a lot of battles, removes a lot of rubbish, but he's younger than I am. He has more strength than I do. But there'll come a day when he'll grow weary. You say, Brother Ross, I know preachers that's preaching. They're 80, 90 years old. Let me tell you something about them. They may be good preachers. They may be preaching the word of God, but they're not removing rubbish. I know what I'm talking about. Them churches that some of those older folks are in, it's good. I'm glad they're still preaching. Glad they're all doing that, but they're not removing rubbish because their church show it. We preached, Pastor Jerry and I preached with Dr. Robinson down at Jeff Brady's church. And it was a great experience. Can I tell you a funny story? I mean, don't take this personally, anybody of you. Jeff had everybody stand and shake hands. You see, like we do here, you know, in the morning. Then Dr. Robinson went, "It's a waste of time." He said, "Just interrupts the whole service." I said, "Yeah, I know it. I wouldn't go disagree with him." It doesn't. I'm just telling you, he's funny. I mean, he really is. I heard he preach a whole message on the sin of starting your church at 6 o'clock. No, I did. I heard it. I was there. Yeah. But on the other hand, what kind of a great man has that man been? He's been a great one. He removed rubbish from Highland Park for years and years and years and built a great work, one that we all looked to and sent our kids to the school because he was a rubbish removal. And you know what he said down there that day? "Brother Ross, I just got tired." So he went into evangelism, and he preached and continued to preach and preach and preach, but he wasn't removing rubbish in the church. He wasn't doing the work of the pastor. And I don't care how many evangelists come in here and they make it all sound good, and that's okay. But I want to tell you where the buck stops is right over there. Right there. And he must be a rubbish remover. Amen. Now, I don't know if this is for sure true, but if this person should know that told me this, Dr. Hiles, in his latter years, he said, you know, there's a lot of things that kind of drifted off up there at Hiles Anderson. I'm not talking about bad, but just some things that wasn't being taken care of. And he said this, "Dr. Hiles is just wore out, and he can't keep up." Now, I'm just telling you, I think Pastor Jerry knows this. Was that against Dr. Hunt? No. You know, I don't know how that man did what he did. I have no understanding of that. How he went all the time and preached and done all these things and run that church, I have no understanding of that. I would not be capable. I'm just telling you, he wore out. You get tired of removing rubbish. Amen? Okay? And now, your pastor, he's not griping, he didn't say a word to me, but I want to tell you what, there will come a day when he's tired of removing rubbish. Because in the pastorate, that's what you have to do. You've got to keep the foundation and you've got to keep the walls free of rubbish. Because if you build on top of it, it'll be weak and it'll crumble. Amen? Let me tell you one of the rubbishes that probably gave me more trouble when I first become a pastor and then for years and years. And that was the rubbish of churches, convention churches especially, but other denominations, that believed that other people besides the pastor should run the church. No, I fought that thing for years and years and years. Because it's hard to get it out of somebody who's done and done that for all of those years. And I preached and preached and preached and preached and preached and taught and taught and taught. And I think now you know, you're a people that knows that Pastor Jerry is the leader of this church. And he should be the leader of this church. That's who should be. It's not deacon-led. Should never be, but back years ago, let me tell you, that's the way they believed. No, I'm telling you, I know what I'm talking about. And they believed that the deacons was one that's supposed to run the pastor and run the church. Now, we know better than that now, but I want to tell you, I fought that thing for years. It's rubbish. I know because of the position of the pastor, it's a lot of responsibility. More than most want, no. Paul talked about all the physical things that he went through, but then he said, and also the care of all the churches. You see, your pastor is the overseer of all the ministries of this church, and that's an awesome job. He's the overseer. He has a lot of good help. Thank God for it. That's helping him in the ministry. But he's still the overseer. And it's up to him to make sure that rubbish don't collect on the wall. Amen? But I believe something. I believe deacons are not to rule the pastor or the church, but that they are to be servants. That's what the word means. They are to serve the church and to serve their pastor. And be a blessing to him and lift the load off of him the best they can. Some you can't lift off because it's his to carry. But that's what deacons are for. And let me say this also. It's not only deacons, it's their wives. Deacons' wives are mentioned in the scripture. Why? Because they stand alongside the deacon. And the deacon and his wife, both of them, are to be servants. Amen? Absolutely. And I would say if they couldn't be that, they're not qualified to be a deacon. And his wife. You know, there's a lot of things that we have to deal with as a pastor. Let me tell you these things. We have to deal with a lot of things that some of you folks don't know anything about that we're dealing with. Sometimes in preaching, we deal with things. There's a lot of things that can be taken care of right from this pulpit. Your pastor does that. I did that for years and years and years. They had to be taken care of, and you can take care of those things. But there's sometimes that people put you in such a position that you have to go to them. And you have to take care of it. And usually, never do they say, "Oh, well, Pastor, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. I'm sorry. I'll straighten up." No, it's usually, "Okay." I went down to Walmart the other day because my fellow that changes tires up here quit changing tires. And I had a flat tire. And anyway, he don't change tires anymore. So I went to Walmart to get a tire changed. And I watched from the window. You ever do that? I don't know what you do or not, but I do. I want to see this great thing take place. And I was watching. I got in there real quick. I was praising the Lord for that. And I stood and watched these four men take care of a tire. And they would do a little something, and they'd stand and talk like this. I mean, just stood there and talked. I can't remember the time, but I was burning. And they just stood there. And then they do a little something else, and they just stand there. I mean, it spreads, because then I went in to pay. When they did get it done, I went in to pay, and the three people that was supposed to be out there was in a little office. And that little fax thing was coming through that machine saying my car was done. I timed it. I stood there 3 minutes. And they didn't come out to help me. So I said, "Could I get some help out here?" Finally, after a hesitation, some lady walked out with a firm look on her face. No, not sorrowful. She came out and done what it was and slapped it down before me. I said, "Thank you." She never did say, "I'm sorry." The reason I'm telling you that is, let me tell you something. That's the program now today. But it's not only at Walmart, it's in churches. You understand what I'm saying? It's in churches. You don't want to be rebuked. Don't tell me anything. Well, your pastor has to remove rubbish. Maybe if the rubbish wasn't there, he wouldn't have to remove it. Might be good if you just remove it before he had to say anything. But you know what they always do? They always force you to have to say something. It's the way it always is. So it don't have to be that way. Amen? It just doesn't. See, what you have to do sometimes is just back a big truck up and load all of that rubbish on it and take it out to the landfill and bury it. I'm talking about spiritually too. You see, some people dump rubbish ignorantly. I don't mean they're ignorant people. They just don't know that they're dumping rubbish. They don't think. They don't think of what the consequences down the road is. And those people are not really trying to hurt you. They just don't think. But let me tell you something. I've been pastoring and preaching for 38 years. There are some who do it on purpose. They want to dump the rubbish. They want you to have to go do something about it. You understand what I'm saying? Amen? Let me see real quickly. Marriages. Listen to me. Marriages, many times, all they need is for a dump truck to be pulled up to their marriage, and each one of them shovel in the rubbish, take it to the landfill and bury it and leave it alone. You say, we've got a bad marriage. Let me tell you something. You don't have to have a bad marriage. You can do something about it. Now, let me say this. It's awful hard to do something about it when one will, one won't. Because one may clear the wall of rubbish and the other one leaves rubbish on it. But I want to tell you something. If there's problems in your marriage, it doesn't have to be. You always will have things you maybe disagree on, a little problem here and there, but that's minor. You straighten those out. You take care of those. That's why there's people in this church right now has 50 years of marriage. They remove the rubbish out of their marriage. That's why there's people who have 40 years of marriage. I think the Caspers this morning, I don't see them right there now, but anyway, the Caspers had 20 years of marriage. That's good. That's great. That's wonderful. But you can't do that unless you remove rubbish. Marriages, you just need to get rid of the rubbish out of it. And it'll be all right. Amen? Cleansing of sin. I think about this sometimes, people in personal lives, and they've got problems in their personal life, and they've got sin in their life. Listen to me, folks. God doesn't want that to remain there. He wants you to confess your sin and turn from your sin. And he'll forgive you from all unrighteousness. He'll cleanse you in the blood of Jesus. You don't have to keep that in your life. You don't have to keep it there. The reason you're having personal problems is because that sin's there and it's not been cleansed. God wants to cleanse it. Folks, you don't have to keep that. You don't have to live that away. It's just rubbish. Amen? That needs to be removed. Amen? The home as a whole. Homes in America are a mess. I didn't say yours was. I said most of the homes in America are a mess. And I know that because of what they're producing out of those homes. But listen to it. You get it scripturally right. You get to know who the leadership of the home is. The leadership of the home is the man. Is that correct? And he is to lead that home in a gracious, kind way. You know why? What I should do for my wife? I should be the leader. But I also should take into consideration that I want the best for her. Jesus gave himself up for us. And he instructs us as husbands to do the same for our wives. My desire should be not that I'm going to just boss you, but that I'm going to lead us in a way that will be right and proper for your benefit. It's the way it's supposed to be. And wives are to submit to the leadership. Now, I've preached this, listen to me, I've preached this for years and years and years and years to some of you same people. And you're still not doing it. You want to get rid of that rubbish? I'll tell you something, your home will be a better place. You know, it is rubbish. It's against the scripture. It's rubbish. You understand what I'm saying? We got it. You can't build a good marriage on rubbish. Okay? You can't build a good home on rubbish. You know, do you ever read 1 Corinthians 13 chapter? When it talks about love and describes love? You know, the first thing it says is, love suffereth long. It said suffereth long. There's going to be some suffering times in marriages. And love suffers long. Love don't quit. Love just keeps on going. You know what it says next? Love is kind. Do you know how far that'll get you if you'll just be kind to your spouse? Just be kind and gracious. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's how God describes love. It's kind. Kindness. A lot of people don't treat their spouses kind. We're to treat our spouses with kindness. Long-suffering, and I'm not going to go through the rest of them. A government cannot be built on the rubbish of abortion. We're in trouble. America's in trouble. Because it's building its walls on rubbish, abortion, sodomites, which God hates, the act of sodomites, God hates that. And we're trying to put them in our Congress and put laws on the book that abortion's okay and sodomy is okay, and we're building a country on that. We're in trouble. Greed and materialism is in our government. That's what determines the laws, is greed and materialism. And folks, we can't let that come into the church. Amen? Now, the church. The church has to have the solid foundation of Jesus Christ. And it cannot be built on rubbish. And your pastor has a big job ahead of him. No, not that you're not fine folk, not good folk. I'm going to tell you, I think we've got some of the finest folk. I really mean that with all my heart here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I believe that. But don't dump rubbish. Just don't dump rubbish, because he has to remove it. Amen. The school. I listened to him the other day, and I was thinking about it. I was not laughing inside, but I was thinking he's removing rubbish. Took away some of the students from the school. Had to. Couldn't let them come back. Why? Were they themselves rubbish? No, but what they was doing was rubbish. And it had to be removed. And I was thanking God for our pastor who's willing to just say, you know, we're going to do it right around here. We're not going to allow these things. I was thanking God for him. Amen. Yeah. Did you know you cannot build properly on rubbish? Did you know at the conception of every institution is sowing the seed of its destruction? Do you know that that's why I worked so hard in my earlier years in the laying of the foundation of this church to see to it that the seed of destruction did not take over? And you can't leave rubbish on the foundation and build right. Okay? See, some people, in all seriousness, and I'm about ready to close, some people never look past the end of their nose. It's all about them. I want this, I want that, this is the way I think it should be, and don't make any difference what the future says. Don't make any difference what it's going to do to the future. Don't make any difference what it's going to do as a whole to the church. It's right here. I want it because I want it. But he can't do that. He's got to look at the whole church and the future of it. And what that maybe that one action might do to the future. He's got to do that. He's not doing it against anybody. He's got to do it for the protection of the church. You see, because a lot of the things that happen is going to affect the whole down the road. That's why we do preventative preaching. So I'm simply saying to you, you can't build anything on rubbish. Okay? So I'm saying, and I advise you, if you got rubbish in your marriage, you need to remove it. Get rid of it. Whatever it is, get rid of it. Load it in a truck and haul it over to the Sullivan landfill. And have them dump it and watch them take a bulldozer and cover it up. Amen. come back home and live right. Amen. And this church, as I say, still going good. And I'm very thankful and grateful and proud of the work that's going and what's happening here. Thankful, grateful. But it wouldn't happen if there was rubbish left on the foundation. Let us pray. Father, again today, I want to thank you for your grace, your mercy, your kindness, your love. Thank you for who you are. You're the good, the true, the living God. Now, Father, once again, we ask you to just take this simple message, use it to your glory. Help us to be more like you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.